There is. I think lots of times we get stuck between what does the MVP model look like and then innovation, right? And now when we say innovation, we always default to AI and technology, but innovation is anything new.
Welcome to the Leaders of B2B podcast, a weekly show where we bring you interviews and in the weeds expertise with today's B2B experts and thought leaders. You can see more about today's episode and guest by visiting our website at leadersofb2b.com.
All right, we are in San Diego at Content Marketing World. I had to think about it for a second with Michelle Ingomé on the first day. All right, first, let's have you do a quick introduction of yourself.
Yeah, Michelle Ingomé, based in Houston, Texas. I'm the founder and president of the African American Marketing Association, which is a nonprofit created to galvanize Black marketers with all of the resources they need to grow their marketing career or their business. And then by day, the outreach director for Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses, which is a 14-week business program to help entrepreneurs scale. And I'm responsible for recruiting the entrepreneurs for the program. So I'm very fortunate to stay in the business ecosystem, as I pull it.
So how does content in the way that we are thinking about it here at Content Marketing World and what trends are happening, you know, challenges that we're facing, like how do you deal with those like on a day-to-day? Like how do you think about marketing for both those roles that you play?
For so long, we've been saying content is king, but I think the quality of content, it's tricky, right? Because I see people, they like raw videos because of short form. So whether it's TikTok and Reels, I think it's the raw footage. So without the production, basically, I think the consumer likes that. But I think on a B2B scale, we're still pretty polished and we want the production company to come out and we want the storyboard and all of that. But I wouldn't be surprised if some of the favorite large consumer brands take it down a notch and keep it raw. And what I mean by that is getting, I want to say the solo shooter to come out and do visuals, you know, and not necessarily the production company. So I think that's one thing I'm seeing. I also think that's a challenge, right? So I think B2B content agencies, I don't know what this looks like, right? Like maybe you got to have a short form department, right? Or how do you tack short form video clips into this big production? Yes, we need the 3 minute, 1 to 3 minute commercial on YouTube and whatever else, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But while we're on set, we need 10 to 20 short form video clips that we can post on social media, BTS, all that kind of stuff.
This is really interesting. And I didn't think we were going to get here this early.
Yeah. Okay.
But no, it's great because one of the things that we do that we're finding and what I try to do in my role within strategy for B2B marketers is like, okay, if we're going to do a 30-minute podcast or video podcast that eventually is going to land on YouTube, how many short form micro content clips can we create for that? Not only does it make it more interesting, but more, it can be more consumable by us who are on Reels or TikTok or now LinkedIn has a whole new vertical element to it that they're trying to get into, which I'm really interested in doing. But it hits on something that we talked about before we started recording about making content from B2B marketers a little bit more interesting, right, and fun. You had a good story that you wanted to share.
Yeah. So one thing I've been focusing on and I still need to develop is this concept of interactive content, right? How can we take this non-sexy industry and make it fun? And the example I shared was I had a good friend that used to work for, let's say, a manufacturing or a cement company, right? So there's nothing sexy. Like, how do you sell cement? I don't even want to imagine. What are those FAQs? I don't know, right?
But what one color thing, gray do you need?
I couldn't tell you. But one thing I was really impressed by is his team, because he did content communications. But his team came out with a comic book. Right. And they took the employees and it's like, everyone asks, what's your superpower? And it's like, OK, how do we turn the superpower into a hero? Right. So the employees are heroes in their respected rights, their specialties. And, you know, something fun and engaging for obviously the whole company morale. But then you give it to the client or potential client is, oh, my God, like this account manager that you've probably been dealing with for 3 to 5 years, which is really cool. But now you get to see this whole funny, creative side of him, of whatever that is being shared. So I always thought that was really interesting.
It's weird because it's like account-based marketing comes up a lot. Think of it in the very traditional way of like, okay, well, let's invite them to a dinner or let's have a happy hour or let's...
I will take the steak.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, no one's saying no to that, but like other ways to be creative, right? Those are ways to wine and dine and whatever, it costs money, but like, why not also do something that's really interesting? Why not have a steak dinner and then give them their comment, right?
Like going that
little bit of an extra mile, I think is, you know, there's a lot of opportunity right in front of marketers. It's just like, there still seems to be like a hesitation. Like, I don't know if it's like a job risk thing or
it
what.
Is. It's a couple of things. So I spoke earlier today. My topic is on building a community through thought leadership. And one of the things I say about thought leadership is, yes, you got to have this idea. You got to have this influence because you want to share the idea and you want people to move, right? But the true essence of a thought leadership is challenging the status quo. How can you challenge? How can you push the envelope in your office, right? Or even in your business amongst your team. And I think sometimes we spill these ideas, which I think all of my ideas are great, right? But
so you're getting your job.
I was like, you know, the person that asked the question, I was like, you have to learn how to manage up, right? So you have to learn this person, your manager, the client, their personality quirks. It's like, okay, yeah, I have this idea, but I need to learn, okay, when is the best time to talk to TJ? How does he like his information delivered? And then maybe you need data, like maybe TJ's a numbers guy. So let me get this data. Let me get all of the data that's on the pros as well as the cons. And now we have a think or outline of notes that I'm like, okay, hey, this is my idea. I think there's something here. I would like to develop this. Do I have your permission? Right. And that's if you're in the organization. Of course, entrepreneurial, we have a little bit more leeway. But I think those are the small things you can do to challenge the status quo.
Yeah. And it's also like taking like little bets, right? I think something that I've seen in the last, whatever, how many years I've been running the agency and now doing strategy is it always seems like it needs to be a big initiative versus just starting small and doing a little bit. If we keep it from the lens of a podcast, right? Like, do you necessarily need to go full production, video, audio, the whole thing, like with a podcast? Or can you do something, and I hate saying on the side because there's some marketers out there who will kill me for being, oh, you mean just do this on the side of my day job? But like, if there is like something creative or like we're sitting right now with two mics in at the conference, like if you were to go to a conference and you brought two mics with yourself, could you do something there that's a little bit smaller bet, not as big of a heavy lift, and see if there's ROI that then you can prove out to get a little bit more budget to do something a little bit more higher production? That's something too where it seems like there's this pressure to always like reach for the stars and do this big initiative.
There is. I think lots of times we get stuck between what does the MVP model look like and then innovation, right? And now when we say innovation, we always default to AI and technology, but innovation is anything new.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything new. It doesn't have to be new in the scheme of like worlds and never been done before.
So what's new to you? What's new to your organization?
Yeah. I think you got it. It's a grounding way to put it. It's a grounding way to put it.
Right. It's like, what's new? I know. When I started podcasting in 2014, mm-hmm. right?
Early.
I was podcasting on Skype.
Look.
I was doing interviews on Skype.
I'm with you. Cheers to that. Yeah.
And then Zoom came along and it was like, okay. And then the pandemic came along and everyone knew. I was like, I've been on Zoom, what, 2016? I don't know. But anyways, I say that to say I did my podcast for about 5 years and I stopped, I think, at 200 episodes. And then when I started the association, I was like, man, what's going to make us different? What's going to make us different? I'm going to start a podcast because I knew that was a strength my competitor didn't have. The simple thing is like, that's new for this association, right? This is new. My competitors are not doing it. They never started one. And then that turns out to be what our unique value proposition, all of the marketing jargon, right? And sometimes we don't have to overthink it. A lot of us, we don't have the money for the research and development compared to a Nike or a Caterpillar, the machine company or whatever. And it's like, I can do this.
And so, sometimes like you don't, that research money and doing that can actually be a bit of a burden because then you have to put in all that investment to decide if someone's going to like it or, you know, and it's like you're spinning your wheels versus it's like, going out and just doing it. And I know there's a challenge when you're at larger organizations that you need multiple levels of approval to get it done. But sometimes if you just like reach out and just try something, like, and you have a proof of concept, then it could go a long way. But I know it's a lot easier said than done.
I agree. But I think if you have a team, I think companies need to focus on how they can hire people and amplify people's strengths, right? Yes, there's a gap, but don't fill it. Like, okay, no, what is your strength, right? I'm a great person when it comes to being the face. Like, public speak, sign me up. Training, sign me up. Interview, sign me up. Paperwork, I'll get to it.
You don't say. Cheers to that again.
Get to that.
I love it. I love it. All right, let's shift gears into more of like trends. And I think this, I'm going to be asking everybody this throughout the conference, because I think, you know, there's a lot of AIs dominating, like how to use AI. I know you have thoughts there, but let's table that for a second. Like, what are some trends that, or we can talk about challenges too, like either one. I kind of like see them one and the same in my vision, but what are some things that you're seeing that marketers are facing in the last, like whether it's 12 months now, 12 months ago from now, or like going to the future, like however you want to take it?
Yeah, I think if we have marketers that have a podcast or a video podcast, figure out how you can incorporate sonic branding into that.
For those who don't know what sonic branding is.
Sonic branding, I would say, how do you define sonic? I want to say that significant noise.
Yeah.
That significant audio or a jingle, right? Jingle could be under sonic branding. But there's certain apps and websites that we go to. We know this is Spotify. We know this is McDonald's. We know this is it Amazon? It could be a little bit of personalization. I don't know. But there's little things that, like, okay, I know when I start this podcast or the short form clip, this sound belongs to XYZ, right? So what are those little things? Think of sonic branding as a hook to your podcast, especially short form. What's that little thing that can make your podcast be identifying?
Yeah, recognizable.
Right? Yeah. So I think that's one thing that could be really explored. And then if you think about, I love Google products. So I have a couple of Google Home devices, Alexa, those things, and how you talk to that. How can your business incorporate language content along those lines as well?
I don't know if you recognize this, but did you find that people were struggling with like how to prompt ChatGPT? Like, what? Tell me more about that.
So I know folks, I prefer Gemini, like Google bias.
Yeah.
But yeah, same difference, right? And I know there's others. I think people are using it, but when I have one-on-one conversations, what I realize is just like people struggle to type into Google, they struggle to type into ChatGPT, right? So I think there will be extra value when folks learn how to do prompts, right? We'll say AI prompts, ChatGPT prompts. So learn how to do it, possibly train others. Because I think when we work with those language models, it takes a while for them to learn you as a user as well, right? And if you're doing it right, all of your prompts, it's pretty much a thread, you know, should be saved for the most part. So I think there's a value add for people to figure that out, right? And when I tell people, it's like, Google to me is nothing but FAQs, right? So how do you talk? Like, when you're talking to me, you're asking me a question that should be the same question you ask Google. You might have to change it a bit when it comes to ChatGPT, because it's just a different language. It's a different language model. The tricky thing is, when they said last night is, just like the internet's full of shit, ChatGPT could be full of shit.
Yeah.
Because it's fuller from the internet.
Yeah, exactly. They don't know where you're pulling the sources, which is actually interesting, because I discovered this new tool called Perplexity, and I'll have to show you after we hang up. And what it's really interesting is, like, it's kind of a combo of ChatGPT with Google. And when you put in your prompts, it will give you not only the answers, but it will give you the sources of which
that's good.
It's coming from.
Yeah.
Which I know is the big issue right now.
Yeah.
Because people with ChatGPT, they don't know where it's being pulled from. And that can be kind of a questionable response. And if people are using it as the gospel, then you're in a lot of trouble. The other thing too, when it comes to prompts, I think we've all been conditioned just on that note really quick, we've been conditioned with Google to ask just like one sentence, and then we get a list of things that then we can then choose. It's not in our benefit to do that within the prompts. You need to give a little bit more just color, flavor, identification, even saying, pretend I'm a marketer that is in Houston that is trying to reach out to entrepreneurs under 25 years old who are trying to do X, Y, and Z. If you give a little bit more of that detail, then at the end, your response is going to be more specific and you'll find it to be a little bit more tailored to what you're looking to do. And if you keep doing that, then it's going to learn about who you are, what you're asking, and then those shorter questions or those shorter prompts will be more valuable. That's what I found.
I agree. That's what I do. I usually use it when it comes to my personal and business pages. I don't really use it for general information, but I like to use it to refine my grammar or refine my copy, right? So that's one thing. I think another thing, we are in the process of launching our first survey. I don't think this is ChatGPT related, but on the AI, I would like to see what does data analysis look like. Maybe I'm not familiar, but what are those platforms? What does that analysis look like when it comes to not just the content, but the ability to create or read the graph, the data, whatever that may look like? Because market research is going to be ongoing. So yes, we can refine the questions, but what does the analytic part look like? And can that be regurgitated?
Yeah, that's the part that's really interesting to me too, is like if you keep on giving it, you feed it more information of copy that you've written or like analytical, like survey data, things like that, like it can kind of break down like common themes or traits that you're finding within the answers. That's where it gets really neat, because then you can take that and turn it into something completely different. Okay. Or take these survey responses from these 200 people and then write me a blog post, and then you refine it however you want to go. I'm never going to say AI should write the whole thing for you, but there's ways to make your life that much easier.
I think I got one more thing too. I think this is antithesis of the conference, right?
Okay. Let's hear it. The contrarian.
I mean, we keep talking about creating content, right? Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? If you got 1,000 pages, if you have more than 500 pages on your website, you probably need to do an audit, and delete, and refresh.
Archived articles are a thing. People can do that. It's very capable.
Let's revisit that as a strategy.
Yeah. Like, no, it is getting out of, it's getting insane.
Especially with the whole AI thing again. I think at a point, some of this stuff just needs to be refreshed. And we know GA4, go to your analytics, what's performing, what's not. See how you can bump that up, obviously a refresh, and go from there. But I think we don't spend enough time talking about the content audit and refreshing old content on a quarterly or annual basis.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Michelle, I appreciate the time.
Yeah.
This is great to meet you.
Likewise.
I'm glad you were able to join us here on Leaders of B2B, and I hope we get to chat again soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Leaders of B2B podcast. And as always, you can see more information about this episode and all the resources mentioned at leadersofb2b.com. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a 5-star rating. This episode is brought to you by Content Allies. We help B2B companies launch revenue-generating podcasts. We schedule interviews between you and your ideal prospects and strategic partners. You show up for engaging conversations, we handle everything else. Ready to build a podcast that grows your business in just 1 hour per week? Reach out to us at contentallies.com.